Every good thing in my life has come through, either directly or indirectly, my relationship with another person. My family are Christians because of the influence of a gentleman that you all will never know, that I knew a little, but his influence through talking with and studying with my father led to his conversion, my mother's conversion, and me being raised as a Christian, and my family being Christians today. If it were not for him, I don't know where we would be or what condition we would be in. Directly, the reason I was finally able to lose some weight and keep it off was because of a conversation that I had with Ray. When my head was all messed up and my life was all messed up, I got things straight because of a conversation with Jay. I found this congregation because of my friendship with a gentleman that some of you know, Bill Robinson. I found and now drive a car that I love because of a friendship with a lady that I know from school named Booth. And so I could go on and on about the things that in my life that I have, that I love, that are important to me, and many things that have changed my life for the better because of relationships. In fact, I can't think of anything that I have in my life that has not come directly or indirectly through my relationship with another person. Think about your own life for just a moment. Think about a person that you know now or that you have known in the past, that you cannot imagine what your life would be like if you had not known them. Maybe a mentor, a teacher, a coach, a minister, an elder, someone that you know, that if it had not been for them, your life would be very, very different. Think about the things that you have, the relationships you have, the possessions you have, the realities that are true about your life that are that way because of your relationship with another person. I don't imagine that you could come up with anything that's good about your life that would not to some degree be accredited to another person. That is the foundational principle behind our verse for tonight, Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. The foundation of this principle is the blessing and the benefit that others can be to us, that when we will pay attention and when we will be open to the influence of other people, the blessing and the benefit that they can be to us. Give me your heart, my son, and let your eyes delight in my ways. This is like Proverbs, for the most part, is spoken from a father to a son, encouraging the son to listen and pay attention to the influence of the father. But I believe that this principle applies to lots of relationships. It does apply to parents. And just because we're grown, those of us who are grown, and our parents are older, doesn't mean that we no longer can be influenced in a good way by our parents. I continue at 55 to be profoundly influenced by my mother. Can't much help it. She lives a couple of miles away. I can't get away from her. But because of that, she continues to exert a tremendous amount of influence on me. I learned from her, for instance, the importance and the process of taking care of yourself as you get older, how important it is to continue to take care of yourself, how a person can do that, the benefits of doing that. I continue to learn from my mother. Maybe it's grandparents. My grandparents are long gone. Maybe you still have your grandparents, or maybe there are other family members. I continue to learn tremendously from my family, whether it's Tracy. I learned the value and really for me the possibility of continuing to keep going when you're tired or stressed or things are going against you, Tracy teaches me how to keep going, even when things are difficult. I sit comfortably on the couch and watch her do it, and I learn how a person can do that. It's phenomenal, and one of these days I'm going to do that too. From my children, from Isaiah, I learn how to do things that are uncomfortable, things that you've never done, things that may look challenging and difficult. And I see Isaiah do these things that are challenging. I learned from my daughter, Rhiannon, how to be bold about things you believe in and how to stand up for the things that you're convicted about. This is the reason that we have as a congregation. This is the reason that we have elders in our congregation, right? The whole point of appointing men as elders is to find among ourselves men who have some qualities and attributes that we don't have or that we aspire to. And so as I watch Troy and Troy's commitment to serve, Troy is one of the greatest servants that I've ever known. He continues to serve and to reach out to check on people and to try to serve the congregation. I watch Ray remain calm and always be a voice of reason and never lose grip and never get overly excited or get wrapped up in chaos or conflict or that kind of thing. I watch Neil, who's a model of diligence and precision, and I learn from that. And so these are some of the benefits that we get from our relationships, from older believers. For many years, I've watched Miss Belva and seen how Miss Belva continues to work and to serve and to be strong in the midst of hardship over and over, difficulties that she has endured. Brother Herb, as I watch him deal with increasing amounts of difficulty, he continues always to have a great spirit, to be joyful and cheerful, at least here. I don't know what he does when he gets home. I'll ask Miss Billy Ann how he's like at home, but at least around here, he's always cheerful. But they don't have to be older believers. I love Morgan's seriousness and Morgan's dedication, and even though she's much younger than I am, a tremendous amount that I can learn from her. And then we've got lots of other resources. What a time to be alive when we can listen to podcasts and read books and watch videos and gain all sorts of insights and all sorts of value from people all over the world. It is not necessary for us to try to go it alone. In fact, the Bible cautions us against it. The Bible very much advises us to listen and to be influenced and to be helped by other people. And so our lesson tonight, based on Proverbs 23, 26, there are three important things that I want us to learn from this principle of being influenced by other people. Number one, you need to be an influencer. Number two, you need to be influenced. And number three, as a congregation, we need to create a community that is a community of influence on one another. Right now, we're not talking about influencing the world, being alive. Not talking about that right now. All I want us to think about is the way that we influence one another. Being an influencer. When the world thinks about influencers, if you use that term to a lot of people, they would think about something like this. Some young woman on Instagram who does makeup in videos and shows other young women how to do that, or some guy who works out and shows people how to work. There's lots of influencers in the world today. I'm not talking about that. Please don't go out and start your own Instagram account and start posting. That's not what I'm talking about. But we do need to be influencers to one another. Turn over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And I want you to notice about this, not only how Paul was an influencer, but how Paul was intentionally an influencer. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, and beginning in verse 7. Paul says, "You yourselves know how you ought to follow our example, because we did not act in an undisciplined manner among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it, but with labor and hardship we kept working night and day so that we would not be a burden to any of you. Notice verse 9. Not because we do not have the right to do this, but in order to offer ourselves. So notice how intentional Paul is about being an influencer. He says, we could have taken your money, right? Paul had the right to take money. He's a preacher. Preachers have a right to be paid to preach. Paul says, we could have taken your money, but we didn't. Instead, we went out and got jobs so that we did not have to take your money. Now, why did they do that? Verse 9, in order to offer ourselves as a model for you, so that you would follow our example. He says the reason that we acted this way was a very specific, intentional reason. We wanted to give you an example to follow. So I want to ask you, have you determined the way in which you want to be an example to other believers? Can you point to something in your life where you can say, that thing is what I'm doing for other people to see and follow? There's nothing wrong with that, right? There's nothing wrong with that. There's everything right with that. For a long time ago, I determined that even though there are many ways in which I cannot offer a good example, there are lots of ways in which I am not a good person to follow. There are things that I don't get right and should not be followed in. But one thing I determined a long time ago that I could offer as a good example was how to deal with conflict and disagreement. I determined that I could, in any situation where someone was disagreeing with me, where someone was criticizing me, or where there was some instance of conflict in the congregation, I determined that one thing that I could do was to always keep my head and behave myself in the proper way. And to my knowledge, I always have. Again, there's a lot of stuff I can't do well. That is one thing that I can do. And whenever someone is critical of me, whenever someone comes up to me and disagrees with me, whenever someone challenges me, even if they do it in a way that's not really the way they ought to do it, or if there's an instance of some conflict or turmoil in the congregation, I always pause and step back and think, what will be the best example that I can provide? I don't ever want anybody to come back and say, you misbehaved in that situation. The way you talked or acted was not right in that situation. That's something I can do. And I very specifically, intentionally tried to offer myself as an example in that way. So I want to ask you, what have you chosen? What have you intentionally chosen in a way in which you can be a positive example? You're not going to get everything right. Nobody expects you to. But what is there in your life? What one thing can you think that you can say, I can get that right? And no matter what happens, those around me will always see the best example of what a Christian ought to be in that situation. Well, obviously, another thing we need to think about is, how can we stop being a negative example? Is there something that we see in you that maybe is not what it ought to be? What can you do to fix and to improve that part of your life? Look at Matthew chapter 5 for just a minute. This is not exactly what Jesus was talking about, but I think that we can take this principle for sure. In Matthew chapter 5 and beginning in verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and beginning in verse 13. In Matthew 5:13, Jesus makes two very well-known and important you are statements. He says in Matthew 5:13, you are the what? You are the salt of the earth. In order for the salt to do any good at all, what has to be done with it? In order for the salt to be any good at all, It's got to get out of the shaker and onto the food. In other words, the salt has to be exposed to the food in order to have the impact it can have. As long as you keep your salt, as long as you keep your influence in the shaker, it's not doing anybody any good. You've got to allow your influence to be seen. And so Jesus says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now notice what he says. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Now the point Jesus is making is that they glorify God. The point that Paul would make out of that is that they may see your example and be influenced by it. What are we seeing in you that's helping us to be better? What are you going to display by way of example that's going to help the rest of us to get better? That's number one. Number two, we need to be willing to be influenced. We need to be willing to be influenced. The proverb writer wrote, give me your heart. Let your heart delight in my ways. What he's talking about is an intentional decision that we be open to the influence of other people. An intentional decision that we're going to allow ourselves to be influenced by other people. How do we do that? Well, again, Paul provides us a great example of how to be influenced by other people. As Paul talks about his example, he actually tells us how to benefit from the example of other people. Number one, choose wisely. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1. Be imitators of me as what? You remember what Paul said? Be imitators of me as I what? Imitate Christ. Paul did not say, watch me, and everything I do, do that. That's not what he said, because Paul was not perfect. What did Paul say? Paul said, everything that you see in me that is something that Christ would do, I want you to do that as well. Choose wisely. Who do you know in this congregation that is worthy of you following their example? Maybe not in every part of life, but as I was talking a while ago, I was talking about these different things that we see in different members. What do you see in the members around you that is worthy of your imitation? What do you see that's positive that you can learn from and begin to do as well? Choose wisely. Number two, listen carefully. Paul talks about following the things that the Philippians had heard from him. And I want to take a minute and talk about this, because listening, I believe, is just about nearly a lost skill. I think that listening is about the thing that people do most poorly. Most people are terrible listeners. Most people just don't know how to listen. They don't want to listen. They don't work at listening. They don't much care to listen. Because what do most people want to do? What most people want to do is talk. And if you're listening, you can't be talking. If somebody else has the floor, you can't have it. But what I learned a long time ago was that it is absolutely impossible to learn anything when you're the one doing the talking, because everything you're hearing is what you already know. You can't learn anything that way. Listening is something that takes the whole person. When someone is talking, we should be leaning in. When someone is talking, we should be leaning toward them. We should have our eyes on them instead of looking around for something better to do or somebody more interesting to talk to or what else is going on around us. How many people do you talk to who are looking all over the place? How does that make you feel? We need to be looking. Our ears need to be listening. Our brains need to be processing what they're saying rather than what? What are most people doing when someone else is talking? Thinking about how they're going to respond. And when you're doing that, you're not listening. The only thing that we should use our mouths for is to repeat back to the person, "This is what I think I heard you say, is that right?" To be sure that we're hearing what it is they're saying. Choose wisely. When you are around people who are good influences, listen and watch what they do. Paul says, "I don't just want you to listen. I want you to watch what I do." Most people are too distracted to watch and observe and learn from how other people behave. Most people are too distracted. They got too much going on up there. They're on their phone. They're doing something else instead of watching and learning from other people. And of course, the point of all of this is to actually do, to act on, to change, and to behave like those good influences that we're learning from. So what we need to be doing as a congregation is creating a community where influence happens both ways. We need to intentionally be influencers. Each of us needs to choose the way in which we can be the best example and intentionally practice that behavior. We need to be open to receiving the influence of other people. And we need to be fostering and promoting the influence that goes on in a congregation. Now, there are several things that we face that keep all of this from happening. Number one, we're awfully proud. In order to be open to the influence of another person, you have to think that you need it. In order to be open to the good that another person can give you, you have to actually think that you need something that they have. A lot of people think they don't need it. They have it all together. They don't need the influence of others. A lot of us are afraid. We're afraid to reach out. We're afraid to ask. We're afraid to establish relationships and to reach out and receive the influence that other people have. And for a lot of us, it's just life getting in the way. We're just too busy to be influenced by people around us. So what do we do about all this that we've talked about tonight? Let's talk about how to maximize this good of influence, and then we'll be done. Number one, choose an example. Think about sometime tonight, one person in this congregation that you think highly of. One person in this congregation that you feel like is someone who is worthy of your attention and your focus, worthy of you to listen to, worthy of you to watch and observe and see how they behave, and begin watching and learning from that person. Think about your own area of personal influence. What do you really do well? What are you good at? What area of life do you really feel like you have it together and can offer as an example to other people? And don't be falsely modest. Don't say, "Well, I just don't have anything." Of course you do. What is it? Begin sharing it intentionally as an example to other people. And then think about one area in which you need to personally improve. What area of your life maybe are you struggling with? Maybe if people see it, it could be a negative example. How do you need to begin working on that? And then be more like Barnabas. We all need to be more like Barnabas. Every time we see Barnabas in the Bible, what's he doing? Except for one time. Every time we see Barnabas in the Bible, he is being an encourager, except for one time. Every time we see Barnabas, a lot of times he's actually being called in. People are calling him in as an encouragement specialist, right? He's called in to encourage because that's what he's great at. I can't imagine a more wonderful thing to be known as, to be called in for, to be called on the phone for, to be asked to get involved, because people know that when you're around, encouragement is going to happen. When we're interacting with each other as a congregation, if you see someone being a good influence, encourage that, praise that, compliment that. If you see someone receiving influence and noticing and observing and listening well, encourage that, praise that, compliment that. As a congregation, we need to create this community where we're being influencers and we're open to the influence of other people. Because frankly, there's just nothing in life, there's nothing in life that we need or that we could benefit from that will not be made better when we have better relationships with other people. All the good things that we can have are going to come through our relationships with other people. Are we going to sing the song of invitation in just a minute? Ray's going to lead that for us. As we're doing that, I hope that you will think about your condition, your needs, what it is that you might need, and if needed, that you would allow us to encourage you, to be an influence on you, and to help you in whatever you need. We're working hard in this congregation to be a place where people can reach out and get help without judgment, without harshness, without any of those things, but where people can just be honest and say, I'm struggling with this, I need help, and we're working very hard to be a place where people can get that help, get the things that they need without fear of being judged or dealt with in any other way like that. And so as we're singing the song, and you're thinking about your own relationship with God, and you realize that there's something that you need, we want to be that for you. And so you can let us know about that privately after church, or you can come forward and take a seat on the front as we stand and sing.